Praise God. Well, last week we touched on some things, and we're just going to continue a little bit this week on the same thing. I don't think we are quite done, but we were in a series, Strong in Spirit, and you know we had Mother's Day and we had Regina in, and so we'll get back to that. But I believe we're on the right thing that we need to be on right now. So if you weren't with us last week, we'll go over some things. But I just don't think we are done. So go ahead and look at on your sheet Jeremiah 1:12. Jeremiah 1:12. It says, "Then the Lord said to me, 'You have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word.'" And that's what we talked about last week. God is ready to perform his word. He's ready to perform it. He's not getting ready. He's not almost ready. He's not thinking about getting ready and maybe he'll do it sometime. He is ready now to do what he's told us now, the part of the plan now. You know, just because God has spoken to you something and you have, he can quicken you through his word, through his spirit, but not everything is for today. And sometimes we get our eyes off on the wrong thing, either in the past or in the future. You know, I messed up here, so God can't do what he needs to now. Or I really want to do such and such, so you're not looking at what you're doing now. You realize our future depends on what we're doing now? God may have spoken some things to you about the future, but if you don't do what you need to do now, you won't be ready for those things that he's spoken to you in the future. Do you realize if you're looking backwards on where you missed it or you think that you made mistakes, do you realize you're not going to be doing fully what you are called to do now? And that means that your future is not going to be fully, you're not going to be fully prepared for that? We need to be focused on what's going on now. That doesn't mean we don't look to the future. That doesn't mean we don't remember the good things about the past. But God is ready to perform what he said. Always. And he never changes. What he said will happen. What he's promised in his word or stated in his word. Some things are promises. Some things are just, they're done. Okay? And we need to receive those things. But the point is, he's ready. And we went into some things and talked about that. We're gonna go over some of the same scriptures we went over last week. Excuse me. Look at James 1, verse 16. On your sheet there, James 1, verse 16. It says, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, from whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." Do not be deceived, brethren. Why would he say that? Because you can be deceived, and a lot of people are deceived. Specifically, he says this next part. "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation nor shadow of turning." God is a good God. Amen. And he gives good things. And James is saying here, don't be deceived. God is good. Everybody say it. God is good.
God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
See, we've said that. Do we believe that? Yes. Well, that would include now. Right now. Amen. And in the past. Have you ever said, where was God? Well, God didn't change. God was there. Maybe we had limited understanding. Maybe we didn't do everything. You can get mired in looking backwards. Everybody realize that? Yep. You know that's one of the enemy's tactics?
Yes. Yep.
If he can get you in the natural realm and thinking and questioning and what about this and why did God let this happen and you didn't do this right, you just can spend, do you realize you can stop moving forward? Yep. You can get so, it's whether it's 3 years ago or an hour ago, you realize you can stop for a period of time and look back? What does that mean about where you're at right now. You're not living now. You've stopped. You're looking back. Everybody know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
You have a real good day, and then you say something you should have, or you make a mistake, feel like you made the wrong decision, and, oh, that didn't come out the way, you know, oh, I should have asked for this, and I did. Do you realize you can stop right there, and instead of being joyful and living in the present and enjoying your salvation, you are in that mistake, or somebody said something that you don't think they should have said, or what? You've stopped. What does that mean? I mean, we only have so much life on this earth, right? You're going to go through. If we're looking back, we're going to miss windows of time that we could have been living and enjoying where we're going, preparing for where we're going. And instead, we're looking back. Or we're thinking about the future. So we're not centered here. We're thinking about, oh, if only, and we're thinking about something in the future. Well, again, what does that mean about where we're at? We're not living here. We're stopped. Again, we're frozen. We're waiting until such and such happens. You can be looking back, stuck. You can be looking future, stuck. But you're still stuck. And whether it's for 5 minutes or 5 years, you can be stuck and not really believing God is ready, He's able, He is with me, He is for me, every good gift comes down from Him. And you're stuck and you're not just enjoying life. And everybody in here has been tempted to look back. And everybody in here, and I would say everyone in here has yielded to look back. Everybody, all of us. Huh?
Yes.
We don't even have to have a show of hands. We just know. And all of us have been guilty of looking ahead for something. It could be something good. But you've stopped. And it's something, maybe it's good that you're looking forward to. But you got life to live. And we haven't lived and prepared and been where we should have been, doing what we should have been doing. Amen. You know that's not God's will. Do you know everybody in here and everybody on the planet is tempted with that same thing? Well, you know, I'm going through such and such. That's one of the devil's favorite tactics, is to get you believing that what you're going through is unique. Now, I'm not belittling it. I'm not saying it's easy, but to think it's unique, that's not true. It's just not true. We all are tempted to stop. And you get going, and then the enemy, he knows how people operate, so he tries to push in there and get you to be stagnant. If he can't stop you, at least he's going to slow you down. That's what he tries to do. Regret. Condemnation. Or in the future, you know, anxiety about the future, or just wishing that you were in a different state than you were, because then I would be happy, quote unquote. That's not true. It's now, right now, even in the middle of this service. If we came in with heaviness, if we came in with anything, I'm looking back, that's just not of God. That's stopping us from enjoying fully right now. Amen?
Amen.
Or oh me. Either way, we can. God is faithful.
Yes, yes, yes.
God is faithful, but it's been so long, but you don't know. I'm sure I don't. But everybody on the planet is tempted in these areas. Just what we just read, we got to know, don't be deceived. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. He's good.
Yes, he is. Amen.
And he does what he said he's going to do.
Amen.
Period.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Let's go. Let's look on your sheet there for a few more scriptures. Hebrews 6, verse 17. It says, thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. It is what? Impossible for God to lie. Now we went over a few of these scriptures last week. Let's go over several of these scriptures again. Titus 1, verse 1. It says, Paul, a bondservant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth, which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. God who cannot lie. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, or will he not make it good? In the New Living Translation, it says, God is not a man, so he does not lie. He is not human, he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? He is faithful. God is faithful. Praise God.
Amen.
He's faithful. He does not lie. He cannot lie. It's impossible for him to lie. So when we look at his word, when we look at his word and it says that every good gift, every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. He's not changing. He is the same God that he always has been. And today, in the middle, right now, of whatever that we may be facing, there is a good plan, and what he said will come to pass.
Amen.
Period. So that means in the middle, all the time, if we believe this, we can have joy. We can enjoy right now. Not, well, you know, I'm not saying we go through things on this earth. It's a fallen world. But not, well, I'm looking, I can't be happy now because such and such. I have a physical problem. Now when it's over, then I can be happy. Well, what happens to the part of your life while you're facing it? Not supposed to be happy? You know, sickness is a thief. It steals your money, steals your time. But it should not steal our joy. It tries to, but that's only if we focus on the wrong thing. In the midst of a trial, well, what God said is going to come to pass. It's going, so then I can look and I can have joy right now. I don't have to be stuck. Stalled. But you don't understand. I you know, once this happens, then I'll be happy. That's not true. If we're not happy now, I shouldn't use the word happy. If we don't if we're not joyful, and I'm not talking about some giddy fake thing, you know, Christian easy, put a smile on, fake, everything's awesome, man. No. Faith doesn't say, you know, it doesn't call those things that are as though they be not. That's backwards. That's like, you know, well, I don't have this problem. You know, that's some, you know, people think that's what we preach. When I say we, I mean like full gospel, spirit-filled. People say word of faith. You know, that's in the Bible, this word of faith which we preach. People try to throw around labels. Well, you're denying symptoms. No, that's not what the Bible says. We're not talking about denying anything. You acknowledge what is, and you say, but God said this, and he will not lie. And what he said is true. See, that's totally different than sticking your head in the sand and acting like there's nothing going on. Now, we may have something that we're challenged with. We may have made mistakes in the past. That doesn't mean that right now we can't acknowledge that God is good, that he's ready to do what he said he will do it, that he's ready to do it, and that what he said will not change, and he will not lie, and he will not move. If we focus on that, that can bring us joy. Yes. Right now.
Yes.
But just being stuck. I said just being stuck, looking either back or forward, will do nothing for us. In fact, more times than not, that's going to bring us down. Get you sad. I just, what happened here? What really, you know, what was going on? God, how could you let me? Okay. I'm not saying we shouldn't. You can ask God. You can go back. You can ask him to show you so that you can learn. But that's different than you dwelling and saying, till I understand all this, till I understand everything, I just can't move forward. Well, that's going to be tough. Because you still have to get up every day, right? You're still going to get up. Life is still going to go on. So where are you? Are we living? Or have we stopped? Are we treading water? Have we stopped? I mean, because somebody's getting up and going to work. You know? Your body's getting up and going to work. The question is, are you there? Or have we stalled and we're just going through the motions because you don't know back there something happened, or you don't know I'm waiting for such and such. In any case, it's like a dark spot in your life. You weren't fully there. I wasn't fully there. I'll share a little bit about an example I had when I was getting, I was in college and then graduating from college. I had a desire to be married, like a lot of, single people. Not necessarily. Marriage is not the Holy Grail. Paul said, you can have a lot of trouble in marriage. I would spare you. I wish everybody was the same gift. You know, he had self-control. He was saying, he felt like God had called him with a certain mission. But he did not say, oh, yeah, when you get married, your life is set. Yeah, all the married people are going, no. Right? Let's be honest, it's work. Doesn't matter how good you have it, I mean, you're dealing with another human being, right? It's not like you arrived when you got married. Give me a break. But you may think that beforehand, right? And I had good teaching. I wasn't thinking that. But on the other hand, I wanted to be married, and I didn't stop, but I'll tell you, I did. I could have done a lot better job of living in the now. Be honest with you. I don't have to tell you this stuff, but maybe it helps somebody. I'll be honest with you. I do real well. You know, I'm going through the work week and, you know, you're busy and I was serving in church. And so stuff. And then I'd hit Friday night.
Yeah. Yep.
And that would get me a lot. Because done with work, church, they don't have anything going on that night. What am I going to do? And I'd be honest with you, there was too many times where I let that get to me. Throw a pity party. Poor me. God, where is my wife? What's going on? Just being honest with you. I'm sure I'm the only one that's ever had any of these thoughts. I'm ready. I'm serving you. What is going on? What am I doing? I'm being stupid. What am I acting like? God's not doing his part, right? Come on. I'm not acting, it's not faith. You guys are just looking at me, just waiting to what I'm going to say next, huh? It's okay to agree. It's not faith. That's not. And if I'm sad about it, is that faith? What does that say? God, I don't believe you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, and I'm not sure if you're going to. And this is one of the thoughts that plagues somebody that, you know, wants to be married. I'm just using this as an example because it was something in my life. You can insert whatever thing in your life. It's the same. So, you know, sometimes I'd be going through and, throwing what people would call a pity party or just basically feeling sorry for yourself. Of course, I'd go to church and, you know, I'd be helping with different things and doing the music, whatever. And you get back on, buck yourself up, going on. Thank God for good pastors. There were times, you know, the pastors in Lincoln, at times I really let it get to me and they'd talk to me, listen to me. Buck me up. Tell me. They would tell me this story or this thing. Not story, but they would, one of their little things they would tell me. You know, they say in the 70s, you know, everybody thinking the rapture is going to come and, you know, they would know young people that were like, oh, God, just don't come yet. Just wait till I can get married and experience it just for a while, and then you can come. And they were pushing it off. And he said then, you know, of course, Jesus didn't come back, and they got married, and now their prayer is, oh, Jesus, come quickly. And to be honest, you know, you hear that, and it sounds funny, but you're like, okay, funny, but where is my wife now? Great for them, you know? But they would listen to me, and I would be encouraged. But you could ask them right now. I mean, if you went and talked to them, they know this was a deal in my life. They walked me through it. And of course, God was faithful. He imported my wife from Oklahoma. Like I've said, I was going to a church. Church was a lot smaller than this at that point. There weren't any prospects. It wasn't anybody. I was not going to that church. It was not a meat market, you know. That's what the world would say. I was not there. There wasn't like there was a bunch of options there. There was other churches. They had this booming, you know, college. I live in a town. There's a lot of college students. You always got to be led to go to the right place. Go where God tells you. Don't go because of something external. Not programs, not anything like that. But there was this one church I know, they had just a booming single stuff, but they didn't believe anything I believed. I'm like, I can't go there. I don't want to find my wife there. Yeah. I'm going to just be hooked up with somebody that's not going. And with everything that we've done, I knew this in my heart. I probably couldn't articulate it back then, but I knew I've told Shelley this. I knew I needed somebody that was gonna just hook up and do and be with me and like be. Now that's a definition of a good godly wife, but in my heart I just knew that this person's got to be willing to just hook up and go. I didn't know what was coming. I just knew I just need some. I need certain characteristics, and Shelley's all of them. I'm not saying she's perfect, but God was faithful. Because I didn't know I was going to move out to Boston from Oklahoma. I didn't know I was going to move down to Oklahoma at that point. I knew I was going to go to Rhema at some point. But, you know, to just pick up and move and do what we've been doing. But God was faithful. And so, he was faithful. But I look back. I'm not saying it's easy. And like I said, this is just an example. We're talking about God. God is ready to do what he said now, right? I'll look back, and I'll be honest with you. There was times, the time that I was looking back, that I was looking, see, in my case, it was like, well, in the future, I wanted to be married. Well, what about the times that then I spent any time feeling sorry for myself or being sad or not, you know, instead of working on what I needed to, studying something, you know, serving in something, being active and walking in faith and being looking to the future, all those times that I didn't do, I wasn't walking in faith, what good did it do me? I can't go back and recover that time. It's a time, there's times where I what was I doing? I was a placeholder, right? And it could be that way with anything. We can look. If we're waiting for something to happen, then we're not living and trusting God now. Praise God. Can you say praise God?
Praise God. Hallelujah.
It's processing? Yeah. What if you're walking through some physical ailment? Well, surely I can't be happy until this gets over with. That's not true. In fact, you know you're not walking in faith if you're sad about it. Do I need to say that again? You are not walking in faith. I'm not walking in faith. An individual is not walking in faith if you're sad. Am I saying it's easy to go through some things? No. But as soon as we're like, I just can't. And we're sad about it, what are we looking at? We're looking at the trouble, and we're not believing God that something is changing and that he's done something. Amen?
Amen.
We have stopped. And what are we saying? I can't be happy until this thing gets taken care of. Well, is that true?
No.
Glory to God. What if you're looking back on something? Well, you don't understand. I messed this up. I regret it so badly. Okay? Let me ask you a question. What can we do about it now? If there's something we can do about it, then we can go do it. We can do that. But we can't change history. Can we? Can I go back and change what I did or what the circumstance was? If there is something I can do, if I need to make amends with somebody, then I can do that. But I can't change the past. So tell me, what is the time that I'm spending? If I'm spending time now looking back, what is that time? It's wasted. It's a thief. Yeah, but you don't understand. It hurts. I regret it. I understand. I mean, I don't maybe understand exactly what you're going through. I'm sure I don't. But whether it's a big thing or a little thing, that regret, the condemnation, the going in circles, will do nothing but steal from what God is doing now. Amen. It's a thief. And like I said, whether it's something that was big, that comes and... Do you know the enemy knows how to push buttons? Like I was just mentioning, there was a button that would get pushed. Doing well, doing well, doing well. Friday, where are you going to go? Button. And I'm serious. I would go. I would have stuff down. I'd be like, I'm whipping. I'm going to go right through. I'm productive. I'm studying, whatever. And there were certain things. You know, I'd go down and get some fast food by myself or something. And it was just a button. Just get, you know, I'd fade it and push it off for a little bit. And then it was just like, sometimes I didn't do so well. But you know, God, Satan has buttons he'll push. And you may have pushed stuff off in the past. And then you see a certain situation or whatever, and he just tries to push that again. Get you to do what? Go off on another journey and check out from where you are now. Go down, like somebody said, around the mountain. We're going to go around the mountain again. You know, let me just insert this. And this came from my pastor in Lincoln, too. He would talk about it. You know, not everything in our life gets taken care of like that. That's right. That's not unbelief. That's just truth. Mm-hmm. You believe you could... I'm not saying it's not possible. I'm not saying the Word doesn't promise us things. But you're going to correct everything in your life tomorrow. Could happen. God miraculously intervenes in some things. You've heard probably as well as I. Just somebody... gets rid of a habit. You know, they've been doing stuff for 20 years and all of a sudden something touches them and they're done. Thank God for it. I'm not saying you can't do that, and I'm not trying to dumb down the power of God. Thank God. We ought to believe, but you know what? There are certain things. I remember somebody said it like this one time. If certain things took a while to get into your life, don't fall down and be discouraged because it takes a little while to get out. It didn't happen overnight. Don't expect everything to change overnight. Again, that's not unbelief. You believe God now that it's going, that it's changing. You can tell what you believe by our attitude. But I was going to say, here's the thing. On certain things, like what I was dealing with, you go around the mountain. That means you dealt with something, you got the button pushed and you went around. But you know what? And then, you know, something happens, you go around the mountain again. But here's the thing. If you're walking with God, as you go up, it gets to be a tighter circle. You're not doing everything you used to do. You're further than you were. I remember, you know, Gary Crowell, that came here last year, he told this story, you know, from the pulpit in teaching. He said when he graduated from Rhema, around that time, I mean, he said this certain time of the year, he would get nailed. He would get sick with something. And he said he graduated and he learned some truths, and he thought, that's it. This is over with for good. And he ran up against that part of the year and he got sick. But he said it didn't last as long. And you know what? He came around again, and he got sick. You know, it was even shorter this time. And he got then where he came up again, and it was shorter, and then it just didn't happen. See, people don't like to think, well, that's unbelief. No, you're believing God all through, but we're growing. We're learning. We're changing. We're coming up. The people want, they get condemned because they're not seeing everything perfect now. And it's my faith, or I just don't know enough. Well, you don't know enough. I don't know enough, but we're coming up. And like I said, We're not talking about unbelief. We're talking about how do you walk through some of these things for real? Everybody can quote, or not everybody, but a lot of people can quote, and it doesn't, let me tell you, it doesn't do anybody any good for you to get in their face or me to get in their face and tell them what ought to be. When somebody's walking through something and you can quote some word, how do you know where they're at and what they're going through and what will help them to come up now? Doesn't do any good to look at the pristine, well, everything should just be perfect. That's like, you know, we talk about marriage again. Well, you know, this is the way it ought to be in marriage and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, don't talk about how to walk through an argument or walk through tension or, well, that shouldn't be, and just don't talk about it and act like everything is just boom, 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 boom. Okay. That's not going to do most people any good. Where do we live? Where are we? What are the emotions you feel? We getting down into it too much today? I don't know.
No, keep going.
I think sometimes I've grown up in word of faith, word and faith circles, however you want to say it. We believe the word. You see what the word says? Thank God. But I've also seen a lot of stuff where people act like they're trying to act like they're somewhere where they're not. And we're not going to dare say anything about what's really going on, because then people won't think I'm a super spiritual giant. So I'm going to put on a show. Now, I'm not saying you have to air your dirty laundry to everybody. You don't know anybody any answer about anything. But acting like we should be over there, 1,000 feet from here, and quit and always trying to leap and just acting like that's the way it should be, hinders you from actually taking the steps to get there and to build and to say, hey, that's progress. Hey, you know, it didn't stay as long. Hey, you know what? I messed up, but you know what? I got back on it quicker. I tripped up. I knew I shouldn't have. I knew I shouldn't have said it. I knew we shouldn't have been in the argument. But you know what? I caught it in 2 days instead of a week and a half. You say, well, that's just unbelief. No, it's not. It's better.
Amen.
Well, you know, I knew the button got pushed. And, you know, a year ago I would have been depressed for 3 days. That button got pushed. All I'm going to do, I'm going to go to work, but I'm going to come home. I'm going to turn on the TV. I'm going to watch 2 movies and get some ice cream and some pizza, and that's what I'm doing. Until finally I'm going to come up for air, and then I'm going to be like, all right, I'm going to quit acting like that. God, I believe you again. Nobody else. You guys are all looking sanctified and be like, that never happened to me. Glory to God. No. Word says it. I believe it. That settles it. That's it.
Yes.
That's true.
Yes.
But not everybody is there. But, you know, last year that's what would have happened. But this year, and now this just happened, and I spent a night like that and half of the next day, but then I realized, what am I doing? And I move forward. And you know what? Then the button got pushed, and I bought the ice cream, and I ordered the pizza, and I started, and I was watching this movie. I said, you know, what am I doing? And I caught myself. I'm not against pizza and ice cream or movies. Nothing like that. They're all good in the right context. But if we're trying to use it to escape and trying to, in everything, like we're beating ourselves up, it's a mental state. And I said, you know what? Now I'm going to eat this, and I'm going to have some of this, but this I shouldn't be watching anyway. I turned it off. And then, you know, I came, I was tempted, and I said, no, I'm not going to go. That's all progress.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Glory to God, we're getting further.
Yes. Amen.
Yes. You know, we realized the button got pushed, and I, you know, maybe saw somebody with somebody else, and it made me think, you know, in this circumstances, oh, I messed up here, or I did something when I was in, you know, high school I shouldn't have, and, you know, I saw any number of things. People, they have triggers, what people would call them, but the devil just, it doesn't matter what you want to call it, he just takes that and tries to poke you. You know, you're doing real well, and then you saw something at the mall, or you saw a movie. Let me just say something. We've talked about this before. We got to be careful what we put in, because do you realize there's certain things? I realized this at one point. There's certain things you can watch, and it actually gives access for you to have, for you to start regretting something. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And that's under our control. To say, you know what? I don't need to see that. Because that won't help me. Or it'll make you think wrongly about something. You got to wait a minute. What's the view that I'm looking at? It's some ungodly view of some situation. I don't need to see that. I need to say, what does God say about it? Amen? Amen. Am I helping anybody? I think we're doing what we're supposed to be doing this morning. God's faithful. Has he ever promised Numbers 23:19 and not carried it through? Well, what's the answer?
No.
He's faithful.
Yes, he is.
He will always do what he said he would do. Amen.
Amen.
Always. 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 Glory to God.
Amen.
He's faithful. You put up Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46, verse 8. If you can go ahead and turn over there, we're going to read a few things in Isaiah. Of course, it's on your sheet. Isaiah 46, verse 8. It says, "Remember this and show yourselves men. Recall to mind, O you transgressors, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man who executes my counsel from a far country. Indeed, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it." God is on the throne. Now, he doesn't control everything. But what he said will come to pass if we agree with him and yield to him. It may not look like it. It may look opposite. But it will come to pass if we'll yield to him. He is the Almighty. We just read, I like that in verse 9. It says, "For I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me." That's who we serve.
Amen.
And this world tries to push on us with past things, with future things, to try to get us unsettled and not just rest and trust in the God of the universe. I like the background on that too, on that scripture. He is amazing.
Yes, He is.
Go to the next verse. Declaring the end from the beginning. He knows. He knows. He knows. He knows where we've been. He knows where we're going. And He's faithful for all the in-between. He says, "My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." Next verse. "Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man who executes my counsel from a far country. Indeed, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it." Go ahead and go down to Isaiah 55, verse 8. Isaiah 55, verse 8. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." God's word will accomplish what He said. And when we agree with His word, then it will be accomplished in our lives as He said. You know what the thing to do when we're in the face of something that doesn't look like it's being accomplished, or we get thoughts about something that we did in the past that maybe it looks like, well, where was God? What did He do? What we need to say is what God's word says about the situation. You may have to say, "I don't understand everything about that, but here's what I know. God's faithful, and His will shall stand, and every good and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. So I may not see everything, but here's one thing I know. He's good. He had my back. He has my back now." And like we read in the offering, Romans 8:28, go ahead and put that up. Romans 8:28, please. "We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." Even if I did mess it, even if I didn't do everything right, God, I have a promise from Almighty God that even the thing He didn't bring it, maybe it didn't work out perfect, but it will work to my good and His glory.
Amen.
Period. So that means I can have joy right now. I don't have to dwell on it. Go to the next verse real quick. "For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren." Next verse. "Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified." He knew us from the beginning. And He knew we would believe on Him. And He knew what we are going to be facing. And He knew even the things that we didn't do perfect. And He has a plan to get us down the road. All we have to do is trust Him and believe that He's willing to do what He said in our lives now. It's not for somebody else. Everybody say, "It's not for someone else." It's not for someone else. Say this. Say, "God's word's for me."
God's
His promises are for me. Say this. Say, He knows me. And He has good things for me. Today. Today.
In this season.
Good things.
Say,
I choose to believe Him.
I choose to honor Him.
He is at my back.
And He will come through.
Go ahead, next verse. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
You believe it?
Yes.
It's not just, you know, that's for somebody else. No, that's for me. Go to the next one. Who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Is that in the Bible?
Yes.
Amen. So that means, that's for me. He gave Jesus for me. So those thoughts, well, you know, you messed it here and here. Yeah, but I just read a verse that He said all that junk that the devil put, you know, and maybe I made some mistakes, it'll be taken, you know, and turned for good.
Amen.
And in things, good things will happen. Look at Isaiah 55, what we just read, Isaiah 55, 10 and 11 in the New Living Translation. It's on your shirt, on your sheet, and then if you can put it up. Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. The rain and snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer. Next verse, and bread for the hungry. Next one. It is the same way with my word. I send it out in it, what?
Always.
Always. Always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. That means as we agree with Him. When we agree with what He said in our lives, we give Him access to do this, what He wants for it to, for what He wants to happen in our lives, we give Him access to make it happen. And He said, it will prosper. It will happen. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Won't you please stand to your feet?